Hi. Well, we have tonight a Kmart blue light special. You lucky people, you. I've written 36 books, and tonight we have three of the books about Brother Hiles that'll be back there, three for $15. They normally sell 20 apiece, but for you, and only tonight, we've got When Principle Was King, 406 pages, a lot of work. The Communicator, 314 pages, Brother Hiles, the Communicator, and then Introducing Jack Hiles to the Next Generation. The first one that I put together, my wife read it and said, you're too hard on these people. What? As nice as I am? But anyway, we rewrote the thing, Introducing Jack Hiles to the Next Generation. Probably the most complete man of God that I have ever known. I was a part of the first four-year class of Hiles Anderson College. My wife was Dr. Evans' secretary. He was the chancellor of the college at the time. And then I traveled with Brother Hiles for 22 years. The first 11, not every week, but once a month. And the last 11, every week, Dr. Tom and I traveled every week of the world with him. And honestly, I admired him at a distance. When I got up close to him, I admired him even more. I've written 36, but these three here, if you want to know about Brother Hiles, please take advantage of this tonight. And the pastor is the one that, he said, do this, so we're going to do it. But tomorrow, if you try to get them tomorrow, you ain't going to get them like that. So there's three for $15, and go back, and autograph too. So when I die, it'll be worth a lot of money, see. So you better take advantage of that, and take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then we're going to move from there to Galatians chapter 5. So find 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read that last, very famous last verse in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And then I want you to find your place to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll turn from here to that when we get started with the Bible study tonight. And don't take for granted what God's doing here. Honestly, Sunday morning, Sunday night, it just knocked it out of the ballpark. And the music here is just excellent. I ought to take some of you people with me as I travel. You'd be glad to get back home. We're blessed here. And don't take it for granted. Don't you take it for granted at all. And I thank God for our pastor, and I thank God for his wisdom and the sermons that he gives, the truths that he gives us, and those Sunday school lessons. I got to tell you something. They're the best. They're the best. If you don't come for Sunday school, you are really missing out on it. Please make sure you're part of one of the Sunday school classes, and don't take for granted. I know I'll be 81 this year. I've been saved 70 years. I'm in my 70th year of being saved, and I look forward to church. I look forward to being with you, some of you, but I do. I enjoy being with you. And please don't take for granted what God's given you here. Just a few days, we'll be in heaven. And yes, I'm going to heaven when I die. I've got enemies who don't think so. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. If you have that, let's stand and stretch just for a moment here, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And then I'm going to move from there to Galatians chapter 5 in just a moment. But this very famous verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Have you ever gone into a house and saw this verse on the wall and they put the word love there instead of charity? Now, we have an every word Bible. This is preserved inspiration. This is verbal inspiration, but it's also plenary inspiration or complete. So God did not make a mistake when he used the word charity. There are 400 and some odd perversions of the Word of God, and they'll all emphasize that this word should be love. Well, they're not God. And God said charity, and charity and love are two different things. And I hope that you'll just for, we'll not be long tonight because I'm hungry. and we're getting out of here. Pastor's not here. Let's just cut her short and get out of here. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. It doesn't say love. It says charity. Father, help me now. Please, Holy Spirit of God, help me to help. Put one more brick of truth in the wall of life. And Holy Spirit, walk up and down these aisles and go from chair to chair and person to person and meet with us tonight. Talk to us. Holy Spirit, we need you desperately, desperately. So talk to us tonight, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I have a whole folder full of little ditties my wife would give me, and I would use them before I preached. And I found this in the folder, and I've laughed at it. You may not think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. But here you go. Here's a song leader and a preacher getting into it, fuss with each other. You got to watch these song leaders, boy. That's a joke there, folks. One week, the pastor preached on commitment, how we should dedicate ourselves to service. The song leader then sang the song, I Shall Not Be Moved. The next Sunday, the pastor preached on giving and how we should gladly give to the work of the Lord. The song leader then sang the song, Jesus Paid It All. The next Sunday, the pastor preached on gospel and how we should watch our tongue. The song leader then sang the song, I Love to Tell the Story. The pastor became disgusted over the situation. The next Sunday, he told the congregation he was considering resigning. The song leader then sang the song, oh, why not tonight? The pastor resigned the next week. He told the church that Jesus led him there and Jesus led him away. The song leader then sang the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. But anyway, I love it. There's no mistake in your Bible at all. And sometimes a professor at a Bible college will say in the originals that he looks old enough to have been around, but he doesn't know anything about what he's talking about. And it seems to be the big thing at a Bible college. You're educated if you can say a better translation or a better word, and we are not to fall for that. The NIV, you cannot reproduce more than 700 verses. It's against the law. You can't do it. The King James Bible is not copyrighted. The notes may be, but not the Bible itself. And even in the front of the NIV, it'll say, if you have any suggestions, write the committee. And so it's a crazy world out there. I got a guy in California one time that sent me an 865-word Bible for the busy man. And he said, you're the chancellor of a college. Would you write something about this? And I did. I wrote garbage on it and sent it back to him. Go to Galatians chapter 5, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the scripture says, but the fruit. Now, it doesn't say fruits plural. It's fruit singular. But the fruit of the Spirit is, here we go, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, in the use of in Galatians chapter 5, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. So picture an apple with the skin on the outside, and you peel it back and keep going till you get to the seed that's in the inner part of that apple or any fruit. Well, he is saying here that we have the fruit of the Spirit is love. There it is. Then you have, as you peel it back, what it brings to your world. So love is different from here in this verse from all the other words. Love is the only word here that is a verb as well as a noun. You can't, think with me now, you can't joy anyone. You can't peace anyone. You can't goodness anyone. You can't long-suffering anyone. You can't faith anyone. You can't meek anyone. I don't miss this. But you can love someone. So love is the only word here in the fruit of the Spirit that is a verb and a noun. So it's unique as a noun because it demands an object. And then as a verb, it demands action. You said to your wife, I love you. It would be nice if you'd pay the bills. You know, it'd be nice if you bought our new dress. Moving along here. You cannot just have love. That means nothing until it's taken out. So when you think about love, love is a verb and a noun. Got to have an object, but it also has to have action. So no such thing as just having love. You cannot just feel love. Sometimes you see on a bumper sticker of a car, come to a place where there is love, where you feel love. Now, understand that you love God. God then becomes the object, but if you don't have action, it's not a verb. So you love your neighbor. Well, your neighbor's the object of it. You love your enemies. Well, some. But that's a joke there, folks. So it's a verb as well as a noun. So you have an object, but it also demands action. Love as a noun must have an object. I said that love is the only word here in the Scripture, in the fruit of the Spirit, that is a verb as well as a noun. So love must have an object. Now listen to this statement. It becomes love as it is given. It's not love because it exists there. It's love because it's taken out and used. So love becomes as it is given, love. That's why God chose the word charity. Because in the Bible, real love is charity. It's the giving. When you think of charity, you know what I'm talking about. Charity is not feeling something. Charity is giving something. Bible love is not something to be felt or possessed. It's something to be given. It is just like faith in the Bible. Faith is an action verb. The Bible did not say in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith Moses felt something. It doesn't say that by faith Joshua felt something. It does not say in that chapter that Abraham felt something. It said by faith Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees. By faith Noah built the ark. So faith is believing. Faith is doubting and then stepping out on it. It's like the Hebrew children. Throw us in the fiery furnace. Boy, we're not going to bow. But if not, a little statement there. There was doubt. So don't feel like that you're not much of a Christian if you have doubt. Welcome to the real world. Faith is action, not feeling. All right, write this down. Write facts. Obey me. Get your pen out, right? Now, facts, faith, and feelings. You get the right facts. You place your faith in it. Now comes the feeling. The engine is the facts. The caboose is the feeling. And so charismatics or Pentecostals or those of that vein of thought, that's why their music is like it is, because they're going right to the heart of feeling without the right facts. They say you can lose your salvation. Well, thank God you can't lose your salvation. I'm secure in Christ. So faith is risking something, not feeling something. Love is the same as faith. Love is an action word. Love in reality, then, is charity. It must have an object in order to exist, a verb as well as a noun. So when it becomes a noun, it must have an object. All right, John chapter 21, turn there just quickly. In John chapter 21, you know the story about the drought. They couldn't catch anything. And then, boy, 153 fishes, boy, all of a sudden, there they were. And then look at verse 15. There's a great lesson here. In John 21, verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Talking about this great catch they had. He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, feed my lambs. Now he's trying to teach Peter a great lesson here. In verse 16, he saith to him again, because Jesus is saying here, you didn't quite catch it, did you, Peter? He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. But still, he's not caught it. It's kind of like a phileo-type love or a fondness-type love. And Jesus is trying to teach a great lesson here in verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved Because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So the object was the sheep. The action was the feeding. He was saying, you telling me that you love me is not what this is all about. Love in reality then is charity. So Jesus responds by each time by saying, feed my sheep. Then he responds a second time, feed my sheep. Then he responds a third time, feed my sheep. Real love is a verb and a noun. Love is not feeling kindly toward the sheep. Love is not weeping over the sheep. Love is not feeling warmly toward the sheep. Love is not having compassion for the sheep. Love is feeding the sheep. Love must have an object. And love is like a verb. So we have the object and we have the action. Jesus said it three times before Peter caught on. Peter must have been from Kentucky. Why did I look over here? Anybody here from Kentucky? No? Okay. I don't know why I did that. But I'm 81. Jesus responded again, feed my sheep. Jesus was exposing Peter to the lack of real love or charity. So three times Jesus said the same thing. He is saying to Peter, love in reality is charity. Love is not felt. It is expressed in action. Listen to this statement. Unexpressed inaction, as warm as it may be, is not in reality love. You don't have to love to give, but you have to give to love. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. So God has given his son, so he did love. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 quickly. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5 to the church at Ephesus. Look what it says, Revelation 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy, what? First love. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen and return to do thy first, what? Works. Wow. Or else I'll come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place except thou repent. He is saying the way you get back your first love is get back your first works. That's what he's saying. So it's easy to say I love you to an object, but it takes charity in order for you to do something about it. So in this letter to the church at Ephesus, he is emphasizing, God is saying that you cannot love without works. So the first works are equal to your first love. And the first love, I think every Christian school kid ought to get a good cussing every week. Now you see why I don't preach here very often. I think they ought to go out and go soul winning and see the devil's payoff. I don't think the youth director ought to cuss. I don't think the preacher ought to cuss. Deacons, but anyway, you got to understand that my daughters would come back from soul winning and they say, Dad, you got to go help that family. They need help. What was happening was she was exposed to what the world's payoff, the devil's payoff was. And she was concerned then about them. So there's a tie here, and God puts it here about the connection between the first works and the first love. So you can feed without loving, but you can't love without feeding. You cannot generate love, but you can generate works. So you generate your first works, which is love. Love is not love until it gives. Thus, love in reality then is charity. Oh, they say, that dear gal, God bless her, she's so full of love. No, she may be full of prunes, but she ain't full of love. The giving is the loving. So then love must give. So love is unique from the other words in the fruit of the Spirit because you must give. So what you give is listed in Galatians chapter 5. So what does it give? Well, take a look at it. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. What does it give? It gives joy. Love gives peace. Love is long-suffering. Love gives gentleness. Love gives goodness. Love gives faith. Love gives meekness. Love gives temperance. Against such, there is no law. So when you look at the scripture, it's very obvious here that love in reality then is charity. That's what it is. Now, then what does love give? Now, if you go back then to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, he tells us how to do it. He tells us what to give in Galatians chapter 5. He tells us how to do it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you'll find that the listing in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, charity suffereth long. That's how. Galatians 5 tells us what. This tells us how. Suffer long is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Peel it back and you find out what is it behind the skin in the fruit. It's not fruits plural, it's fruit singular. Then you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to tie the word charity in with the word love. And then he tells us how, what to give, and then how to give. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You may have goodness without love, but you can't have love without goodness. For these things listed here following love are what love gives when you love. So you have an object and you have action. If you say you love your husband, then there'll be action. It'd be nice to come home to a clean house, wouldn't it? Okay, moving along here, there is the object and there's the action. That's why he put the word charity in First Corinthians chapter. That's why he put it there. Because he didn't want us to be distracted with this feeling aspect. Now, my wife and I are married 58 years. I had more feeling for her the longer we were married than I did at the beginning. And there was a relationship that brought together charity and love in our marriage. And the same thing is true with any relationship in life. If you want that relationship to be fruitful, then you have to understand what the fruit of the Spirit is, love, and what it is made up of. Then you go and you find out how to do it. A lot of us know what to do, but for some reason we forgot how to do it. And that's why it's important that we listen to these Bible studies the pastor gives and the sermons that he gives, because he's giving you the nuts and bolts of it so that you can take it back into your world and your world can be a better place. Because it's not just feeling something. Yeah, boy, she's so pretty. I'd like to date her. Well, at age 70, they're all going to look alike. Boy, he's a real hulk. He'll turn out to be a bulk after a while. Ah, that's my dream boat. Well, he sank in the harbor. We live like the world lives in the world of feeling. And really, it's not love, it's lust. And because of that, you can never have a deep relationship with anyone. The more you love God, the more action there will be. The more you love your wife, the more action there will be. The more you love your husband, the more action there will be. So God is not saying to us, boy, I want you to feel it. No, God is saying, I want you to do it. And if you'll do it, you'll feel it. But we want the other way around. That's why we're so careful here. The pastor's so careful about the music. Because you, listen, let me, Asta Lashanaha, Kawasaki, Yuzuki, Yamaha. If you want to speak in tongues, just memorize all the motorcycles and say them real fast. So what they try to do is get you hyped up for feeling's sake. And there's not doctrine left. And really, you it's a concert. I've read a statistic this week. It was interesting. The mega churches that have cell groups at night, 21% of them come back to a cell group. So they might run 15,000 on a Sunday morning, and music. It's a concert. Let's face it, it's a concert. And the words of the songs are doctrinally unsound. And because of that, they got the same, they don't call them a worship team. They're not going to do that because then they'll identify us, you know, with that crowd. But they have the same five people, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they are the elite and the best of the best. Give me an old-fashioned choir with a bunch of gray hairs that love God and serve God and do the best. I don't care if you sing off-key or not. I like the way you live for God. And that's exactly what he's trying to get across to us. So in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit is love. What is beneath that is given to us. In 1 Corinthians 13, he said charity, because he said, I want you to know how to give. I want you to know what to give, but I also want you to know how to give. That's why what you give is found in Galatians 5. How you give it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So it's expressed to us on the how is clear in the scripture. Boy, I tell you what, all my kids are grown. Hallelujah, glory to God. And I've got 10 grandchildren, 14, 17 great-grandchildren. And thank God for them. And my wife and I love them dearly. But there's something about, I don't raise grandkids, you know. So I got these kids, they're kids and they grow up in the church and grow up in the church. And then they come to you and say, I'd like to marry your daughter. I say to myself, son, you ain't got enough sense to get out of the rain. And I'm going to give you my daughter. But my daughter comes and says, I'm in love with him. They really don't know what it is. But thank God they are taught and preached to and taught in Sunday school and in church. And the truths become reality to them when they start, their life becomes complex. And all of a sudden they find that this is really truth from the Word of God. And the pastor's right and the preaching is right and everything that's going on down there is right. It's very important that you do not live your life by feeling. Get the facts right. Place your faith in the facts, and that caboose is going to come along. And every once in a while, you're going to find yourself saying, well, glory to God, hallelujah, because the facts were right. And your faith was placed in the right facts. And it would do some of you, all you men stand up. All you got to do is look out and see if you got pants on. Say amen on a count of three. One, two, three.
Amen.
Now that's Methodist level. You ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
Now sit down. It's not the amens that we want, but it's nice to have once we got the facts right. You could say amen to the wrong thing, but get the facts right. That's where studying the Word of God and staying in the Word of God, spend 2 hours every morning with the Lord. Alone. Just leave me alone. I don't want anybody around. Just leave me alone. Give me a cup of coffee and a cigar and leave me alone. If you're visiting tonight, I'm joking. I said something like that in New Jersey, and a lady said out loud, hey, this is my kind of church right here, boy. So when a person loves, it's not based on feeling, it's based on giving. And that in reality is what he's saying. Let's stand, our heads about, eyes are closed.